Candlewick on Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of The Ghosts of Kerfol by Deborah Noyes, performed by Justine Eyre. Hungermoon, 1613. When the coach set me down before that avenue of trees, straight and stern, with cicadas screaming in the tall branches, I saw no welcome for a starved brat missing her mama. At the end of the avenue, past a clearing, where many lanes met, past an iron gate and two vast gardens, where all manner of herbs and flowers hunkered, still and sweet-smelling in the sloping shadows, stood the grey mass of the chateau, flanked by towers. A moat circled it, gleaming darkly. A wide sweep of steps led up to the entrance. My oldest cousin, Etienne, who later became a trapper in the New World, had once been a potboy in a chateau like this. Serfs were sent each night, he said, to stamp on the bullfrogs in the moat so the master could sleep. Drawing near, I imagined the wet crunch of small bodies, torches reflecting in rank water, and I prayed to the Virgin that I would not be called upon to smash frogs. The front door was high like a church's. I longed for the hearth light within, for soup and a bit of crust, but the meaty, sullen maid would not open it.
"My lady's asleep," she scolded through a crack. "And I have no instructions for you. The stable's in the courtyard, out back. Don't blunder into the men's quarters next door. It's the stone building you want. You'll find straw in the empty stall."
She slapped shut the door and then opened it again.
"Come to the kitchen at sunup."
I ventured out back and ducked under the low, arched doorway of the stable, feeling my way through the dark as snuffling horses reached out to me. Gripped by the profound silence of the manor, I slept the fitful sleep of a criminal that night, my stomach hollow as a hive when all but one angry wasp has left it. I might have known then that Kerfol was a neglectful house, preoccupied with its woes. The dull prongs of a pitchfork woke me.
"Look here," a voice teased. "I found a leg in the straw, a fine-looking one, too, and a shoulder. What else?"
"Ack," I complained. "Don't!" Up I rolled onto my knees to find a lanky boy. I saw at once, with grave alarm, that his lashes were a bleached shade of copper, like snow where the hawk has hunted, and his hair was a bolder shade of the same. Grandmère, who had devoted herself to scaring children witless, fancied tales of the loup-garou, an unfortunate human who'd lapped water from the left paw print of a wolf. When the moon...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?